Let's get into the word. I know it's been a busy day already, a busy service, so we're going to jump right in. Psalm 34 is our text today in our series, God's Playlist for the Soul. And this song, Psalm 34, is a song to encourage us when times are tough. And I know that for many, times are tough, especially now that we've got the news that starting Tuesday, we might be having to ratchet back some of the things we've been moving into more freedoms and less restrictions. Well, now it appears we might have to pull those back. And it makes for hard times emotionally, spiritually, hard times because we miss people, we feel isolated. For many, there are celebrating times politically. For others, there are hard times politically. Excuse me. So this is a song for everyone going through a hard time. And if you're not going through a hard time today, just wait a couple of weeks. Your turn will come. And there'll be the need to go to Psalm 34 for you. So let's read this, okay? Read it along with me. Wherever you are, open up your Bibles. Psalm 34. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Psalm 34 of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off their memory from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord redeems his servants. No one will take refuge in him, will be condemned. Now, this is an important psalm, mainly because of the context. I want to back up and pay attention to that little heading when it says a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane from Abimelech, who drove him away, and then David left. You see, David is writing this song of praise. It's I will praise you, Lord, at how many times? All times. His praise will continually, or at all times, be on my lips. That this is a song that David wrote when he was in one of his most desperate moments. You see, this name Abimelech, it's really the name, if you were a Philistine back in those days, the term Abimelech is used for just kings. Like maybe you might say Caesar. Well, there are certain Caesars that were over Rome. Well, in the same way, Abimelech is a name for the kings, and there are many different kings. You know, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gaza, Ekron. And in this particular case, there's this king named Achish. And Achish is the king over this region of Gath. And the Philistines lived in this strip, what we know today is like the Gaza Strip, on the coast of Israel, on the Mediterranean, from Joppa down to Gaza. So right there where you hear about the Gaza Strip today. And David finds himself in a city called Gath underneath this king, Achish. Now, the city of Gath was a place where these mighty men, these giants called the Anakim lived. It kind of sounds like something out of Star Wars, right? The Anakim, or these giants, lived in this place. I don't know how they were born and bred in this area, but Goliath was one of these guys. And Goliath is one of the giants of the city of Gath. And David finds himself there. Go figure this scenario. David kills Goliath, one of the giants who lived in Gath. In later times, he runs from King Saul, finds himself in the same city of the guy that he killed in that great battle. He goes from trouble to trouble. Let me back up and fill in the story. King Saul is anointed king because the people demanded a king. God said, not a good idea. It's going to be trouble. But the people demanded it anyway. So God says, okay, fine. See what's going to happen. So Saul gets anointed, but Saul's a fearful, insecure guy. And because of those fears and insecurities, he tends to lean toward what the people want instead of what God wants. And on one of those occasions, he disappoints or disobeys God. And Samuel, the prophet, says, that's it, enough. Because you disobeyed God, God is going to take the kingdom out of your hands, and God's going to anoint another king who's better than you to take your place. So in that time, God tells Samuel to go to the house of Jesse, where there are 8 sons, the last of which is David. Well, Samuel goes to Jesse's house. 7 sons pass before Samuel, who thinks it's got to be one of these great, you know, young men. And God says, no, 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 7 times. Until Samuel says, there's got to be more because God sent me here. And Jesse says, oh, yeah, by the way, there's one more little guy who's out in the shepherd's fields watching over the sheep. Samuel says, get that guy for me. Brings David in. Samuel says, he's the one. That's the one. But they keep it a secret. They don't really tell anybody. And in the meantime, Saul gets tormented and the spirit has left him and he's just kind of having some anxiety attacks and struggles. And so the leaders say, is there anybody who can maybe bring some peace to King Saul and some comfort to King Saul? And somebody pipes up and says, there's this young man, one of the sons of Jesse, who's a really good musician and he writes songs. Maybe he can come. Go figure. They grab David to come into Saul's presence. Saul doesn't know that David's been anointed the new king. David knows he's been anointed. How awkward for David to be in Saul's presence, singing him songs to comfort him, knowing, dude, I'm going to take your kingdom someday. How does that even work? And what a lame duck, you know, king situation. But David ministers to Saul. He sings and plays music and it calms his spirit. Now, I wonder if he sang some of the songs that he's written right here. Many of them in the Psalms written by David. Well, David does well. Saul likes him and says, I like this kid. Keep him in my presence. Well, David goes back and forth between the palace and back to caring for the sheep. And on one of those occasions, the Philistines and the people of Israel are fighting. And that's when Goliath shows up, this mighty giant. And nobody wants to fight him until little David shows up and says, I'll fight him. And many of you know the story. To keep it short, David kills the giant, cuts off his head, and becomes a mighty champion for the nation of Israel, leading the people in great exploits, always having victory, always having success, to such a degree where the women of the town begin to sing songs. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. And Saul goes, what? They're giving credit for me for only killing thousands, and they're giving credit for David for killing 10,000s. They like him more than me. And to make it worse, Saul's son Jonathan loves David. And then in one of the great battles, he wins, and Saul wins the hand of Saul's daughter who loves him. Everybody loves Saul, or everybody loves David except for Saul, who now, because of his jealousy and insecurity, wants to kill him. And on many occasions, Saul tries to kill David and even leads a raiding party out into to Israel to try to find David, to try to kill him. But David refuses to touch him. David refuses to strike back. David refuses to dishonor the one that God has chosen. And Saul pursues him. David won't fight him. David won't touch him. So he only has one choice, and that's to run away. And on one of these running away times, he finds himself in Gath amongst the Philistines, where Goliath lived. And David gets afraid. He says, I'm in trouble now. I've run from the frying pan into the fire. Now what am I going to do? And the people of Gath start to say, isn't this that guy? Isn't this? This is the guy. This is the guy they sang that song about. Saul killed his thousands. David's his tens of thousands. And we're the ones he's been killing. And David gets afraid. And in that fear, he pretends to be a wild man. He pretends to go insane, scratching at the door. And the Bible says letting drool run down his beard and just acting crazy. And the king of Gath, Achish, finally says, don't bother me with this guy. Haven't I got enough insane people to worry about that I'm going to worry about another insane guy? Just, you know, get rid of him. And David escapes and runs away. While he's being crazy, while he's fearful from his life from Saul, fearful from his life from the people of Gath, he writes this song. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Church, I don't know where you're at today. I can pretty much guarantee that you're not running from a jealous king trying to kill you, and you're not finding yourself in an enemy nation who wants to kill you. But in the midst of that, David says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. No matter where you are today, you need this. I need this. Because this is the song that will bring us out of whatever fear, whatever hurt, whatever anger, whatever bitterness, whatever frustration we're in. This has the potential to raise us up out of that and to bring us peace and to bring us close to our Maker so that we can rise above and not live in the grip of that fear. Just a couple of little factoids about this psalm. This is one of 9 songs in the 150 that's an acrostic. We don't see it in our English language, but there's 22 verses. Every single verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so if you read Hebrew, you'd get the poetry of how this all works. In the English, of course, we don't get that. And it's basically split up into 2 sections. The first 10 verses is the praise part. The last verse 11 to 22 is the instruction part. So let me jump into the praise part first. There's 3 specific words of praise. Number 1, praise the Lord, even if times are hard. I will extol the Lord, or I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. He goes on to say, my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let me ask you, when does it say to praise the Lord? All times. So is there ever a time when it's not appropriate? Is there ever a time when it's too hard? Is there ever a time when it's too difficult? When you're acting like an insane person because you're afraid, praise the Lord. When you're running for your life, praise the Lord. When things are crazy and things are falling down around you, praise the Lord, because there's always a time to praise the Lord. And it's always appropriate to praise the Lord. It says, I will boast in the Lord. The Hebrew word for boast is halal. It's where we get our word hallelujah. It says, even in the craziest times, I can say hallelujah. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on. And imagine how David was confused. Whoa, time out, God. I thought you had Samuel come and anoint me to be king. I don't feel like a king. I don't feel, you know, really anointed right now. I don't really feel like things are going the way I kind of thought they'd go. I was in the palace. I had Saul's favor. I was winning battles. People were singing songs about me. I got the king's daughter as a reward. Things were pretty good. And then, boom, 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 now I'm running for my life and acting crazy, living in caves. Not quite how I thought it was going to play out. You ever been there? You ever been there when life just didn't play out the way you thought? It's still a time to praise the Lord. It's still a time to say the hallelujah. I remember it was a 4th of July holiday, and we were on our way to a great party. We were going to, you know, fireworks and dinner and all that, driving down 880 when a big rig in front of us blew a tire. And when he blew the tire, a bunch of the brake material went flying all over the freeway. And it's big, thick, hard, you know, stuff. And I tried to swerve to miss some of it, but I hit one piece, flew up into the air, actually crashed through the windshield of the lady behind me. Praise God, it didn't injure her tremendously. It did hurt her finger as it came through the windshield and hit her hand on the steering wheel. But nobody suffered tremendous injury, blew out our tire. There goes our party. And I was pretty frustrated. Like, what is going on with this? And I'll never forget God whispering in my spirit, there's always a reason. And I'm starting to look around for the reason. Well, the tow truck driver came, and he had to drive us home to get some keys to drive us back again. For some kind of thing was going on. I actually forget all the details of why. But he had to take me all the way back home and all the way back to 880, about an hour ride, round trip. And on that whole hour, I started to learn about this tow truck driver's scenario and got to share Jesus through that whole time. Now, I wish I could say that during the drive in the tow truck, he just began to weep and pulled over and accepted Jesus. That didn't happen. But I believe with all my heart, because God whispered in my spirit, there's a reason that when I get to heaven someday, some guy's going to walk up and say, hey, remember that tow truck trip? Because there's always a purpose. We just got to be looking, and we got to remember to praise the Lord at all times. It says, seek the Lord at all times, and God will provide all you need. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Let me ask you, do you seek the Lord? You say, yeah, I pray. I read my Bible. No. I'm not talking about going through a devotional time every day. I'm talking about seek the Lord. Think, I lost my keys. Think, I lost my wallet. I lost my phone. What happens? I know what happens because I know what happens to me. You go insane. You go, where's my phone? Where's my phone? I don't know. I'm going, where is it? Where's my keys? I can't find my keys. Ah, you start to lose your mind. You're blaming everybody. Who took it? Who put it? And it's usually the last place you left it. And that panic that sets in. Or there's been a couple of occasions in my life where I've had kids with me and one of the kids I lost sight of and that panic that goes, where's my kid? Where's my kid? Do you seek the Lord with that kind of urgency? He's asking us to seek. It says, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. A couple of years ago, I lost my wedding ring. It was it just kind of slipped off my hand as I was throwing away some garbage. And I realized, where's my ring? Where's my ring? And I went nuts, searching all over. God, you know where it is. Lord, you know where that ring is. Show me, Lord. And hours went by, nothing. Next day in the daylight, I got up and moved the garbage cans around, and it slipped underneath one of the garbage cans. And I found it. But I'll tell you, I was panicked. I was seeking, tearing things apart. Do we seek God with that kind of urgency? We need to. We need to. The scripture says, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with what? All of your heart. That's not a casual, oh yeah, when I get around to it. No. Oh yeah, I lost my daughter. Well, I'll find her in the meantime. Oh no, you go, where's my kid? Smith Wigglesworth, a great hero evangelist of the last century, made this decision how he sought the Lord. He said, I vow to read no other book except the Bible. And you might say, that's kind of narrow, don't you think? That's kind of limited. Well, for him, that's how he sought the Lord. He didn't want any distractions, and he vowed just to read the Bible. David Wilkerson, another great man of God that's passed away a couple of decades ago, made a decision living in New York to stop watching TV at night and instead spend the identical time in prayer. And out of that prayer time came revival in New York City, the birth of Teen Challenge out of his ministry, and a great prophetic church. Because one man decided, I'm going to seek the Lord. I wonder how life would change if we went from the good thing of being a Christian and being obedient and doing our devotions to take the next step to seek the Lord. That's what David said. I sought the Lord, and he provided all my needs. Number three, know the Lord. You will have no fear. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Fear the Lord and you, his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and weary or hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You know God. I remember praying in Bible college, God, I just want to know you. I don't want to know about you. I was learning lots of information, taking all my Bible courses and learning this about the Old Testament, this about the New Testament, this how to study, and this how to, the Greek and the Hebrew and all that stuff. And I thought, God, I have information. I want to know you. And I'll never forget one night in the chapel about midnight, just saying, God, I'm just here. I'm just here. I want to know you. And having his precious Holy Spirit baptize me in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. Not some big service where people are laying hands on you and people are falling over all over the place. Just me and God. And I remember here at Abundant Life, back in the 80s, doing youth ministry and reviving that spirit back in my office, which is now the janitor's closet, and kneeling before the Lord saying, Lord, I'm not really sure how all this works. What I know is that I want to know you more. I want to know you. I wasn't praying for requests. I wasn't praying for healing. I wasn't praying for guidance. I wasn't praying for vision. Saying, God, I just want to know you. And I don't know what father would deny a son or a daughter that says, Dad, I just want to know you. Would you just talk to me? Fathers, how would you feel if your kid climbed up on your lap or your teenager came up next to you and said, Dad, just talk to me. Tell me about you. I want to know you. Tell me your stories. Tell me your experiences. Tell me what you think. Give me your... What father would deny a son or a daughter like that? And I remember praying that prayer. God, I just want to know you. That's the cry of David when he's running for his life. I want to praise you. I seek you. I want to know you. Church, that's what we need today. That's what we need. I know my time is short. I want to just go through this last section, though. David moves from that inspirational part, praise God, seek God, know God, to a teaching time. What do we do with that seeking and knowing and praising? What do we do with it? That praise demonstrates our action or determines our actions, and behavior authenticates our praise. You can say, oh yeah, praise God, and then act like the devil. Oh, it's easy to do. Oh, praise God on Sunday morning, go outside and get in a traffic situation and like, what happened to praise God? You can seek the Lord in your devotions in the morning and get into work and some jerk at work does something stupid and suddenly, what happened to my devotions? See, our behavior authenticates the praise in the heart. And here's what David says. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Keep your tongue from evil. Do the right thing. What's the right thing? The right thing is the godly thing. That's the right thing. The right thing is the biblical thing. That's the right thing. You don't know what the right thing is? That's why the Bible is important. It shows you the right thing. Oh, I don't know what to do. Well, you can go ahead and seek the scripture. It's there. Maybe not in particular verse, but in principle, it's always there. David had some lies told about him. David had people judging him falsely. David had people accusing him falsely. And yet he still says, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Very simple. Praise God, do the right thing. Seek God, do the right thing. Know God, do the right thing. They go together. Just this week, I had opportunities to do the right thing. Not big things, little things. But how many know little things add up to big things? Little compromises of character expose someday big compromises of character. Little bits of lack of integrity will bring about larger bits of lack of integrity. My wife and I were playing golf over at Deep Cliff. We played a couple of rounds, and I grabbed the pool cart and then paid my fee and then realized halfway through, oh, I didn't pay for my cart. And in a moment, there was this brief temptation of, it's only $6, big deal. I've given them enough money. Let's just walk on by. And I heard the Spirit say, are you kidding me right now? Do the right thing. Went back after the round, says, sir, you forgot to charge me for the pull cart. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, for my honesty, he'll say, oh, it's okay, no big deal. He said, no, thanks very much. Give me your $6. I was okay. A couple days later, just I think Monday or Tuesday, I was hitting balls at the range, and I have a little key that they put money on it, and I went and put my key, and the guy said, oh, you've got $74 left. Well, the last time I hit balls, the guy said, you've got $74 left. So he hadn't charged me. And I started to walk by, said, oh, well, it's his mistake. I said, do the right thing. I said, you know, I think you didn't charge me last time. And he goes, hey, the computer says this is what you got, so have fun, good luck. So that time I made some money. But my conscience was clear. We can never overestimate the blessing of a clear conscience. That's doing the right thing. Then David says there's some blessings to doing the right thing. Quick, these three bullet points. God will hear your prayers. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. God will be near you when you're hurting. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And God will deliver the righteous. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Three statements of power. If you do the right thing, God will hear your prayers. He'll be near you when you're hurting. He'll deliver you when you're righteous. Now, I know I can already hear your, I know what you're thinking. Why do I know? Because I think it. And that is, well, God, when are you going to deliver me? And I know David was saying that. God, I feel like a moron. I got drool running down my face. People think I'm a nutcase. They think I'm insane. God, when are you going to deliver me? You anointed me king. When am I going to be king? When do I get to sit on the throne? When do I get to tell people what to do? Instead of being run around like a criminal. And I know you've thought it. God, when am I going to get healed? God, when is the answer going to come? God, when am I going to be free from this internal pain and the wounds that I've suffered? When is it going to happen, God? And that's the whole deal, right? It's timing. It's always the when question. I'll never forget one of our young lifers, almost, well, 19 years ago now, was flying from New Jersey to San Francisco. Missed her flight. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Missed the flight, got the time mixed up and missed it, and so frustrated, so just aggravated. Now what am I going to do for the next few hours? Now what's going to happen? Oh, just, God, what's going on? Frustrated. Until the news came that the flight she missed was flight 93, headed from Newark to San Francisco, and amongst the 37 passengers were four terrorists, and that plane crash landed in Somerset County in Pennsylvania. Timing is everything. Now you may say, well, Pastor, you know, there are 37 other people, 34 of which were innocent that died that day. That's true. That's true. But here's what I know. God always has a purpose. I don't always know what that purpose is. I'm not big enough to know how God thinks about everything. But I know this. It's always a good time to praise the Lord. It's always a good time to seek the Lord. It's always a good time to want to know the Lord. And if we do the right thing, we never have to worry about the when. We just need to worry about that God is faithful. We will blame God for being unfaithful when simply the timing isn't right. And we falsely accuse him. When he said, if you would have just waited a little while, you'd have seen I am faithful. But you were too eager. You were too impatient. God will redeem all who run to him. The last bullet. The Lord redeems his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. There will be a day of reckoning. It's going to come. It also says in that same passage, verse 21, evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. There's a day of reckoning. The evil will be condemned. The righteous will not. Before you say, oh, God's going to condemn people. No, they're condemned already. Jesus has put himself out there saying, receive me. And the condemnation comes not from God smashing people with condemnation, but from the person's rejection of the free gift of Jesus Christ. And so they condemn themselves. But there's going to be a day when presidents, senators, congressmen and congresswomen, media members, kings, royalty, celebrities, athletes, CEOs, and all the rest of us, we'll have to stand before a reckoning. And the righteous will not be condemned. You know, I want to be one who has waited and who has seen the end of the story. You know, it's a really, really bad idea to judge a movie before the last act. It's a really bad idea to judge a book before the last chapter. It's a really bad idea to judge a football game before the last 2 minutes. And it's a really bad idea to judge God and his dealings in this life before life is played out. Because one day we're going to see him face to face and we're going to look back and say, oh, you were faithful. And God's going to say, didn't I tell you? I'm God. I'm always faithful. I always know what I'm doing. I love sports, and I know that when the game has been tough, but we come out on top in the end, I'm never bitter about the times during the game in which we were behind, because I know the last score. And I know that, oh, we did come out on top. And so I forget about all those times in the midst of the match where it was rough and rugged and seemed like we were going to lose. But we didn't. Church, it's a really, really kind of foolish thing to judge God before the end. And there'll be a day when we'll praise God because we did the right thing and we waited on Him. I know that a lot of you are hurting today. Reread Psalm 34 and reread it a lot. And remember what David was going through when he wrote it. It was not an easy day for him. It was not an easy 16 years for him. Because that's how long it took from the time he was anointed to the time he reigned over all of Israel. Sometimes we got to be patient. But while we're patient, praise Him. Seek Him. Seek to know Him. And do the right thing. And you'll find God is faithful. I want to pray with you today. And then we'll close. God, I pray in Jesus' name for those that are hurting today that needed to hear this song. And I know some of them really may be frustrated saying, well, I don't want to be patient. I want God to heal me now. God, I pray that you administer your peace to them. There are others say, I've been waiting. How long do I have to wait? God, I pray that you'd minister your peace to them and show them that you're with them. You're near. You are near to the brokenhearted. You're near to those whose spirits are crushed. I pray, God, you'd be near to them. Show them, Lord, that you're not far. You're right there. Show them, Lord, that even in the worst of times, the God who is faithful is right there. Lord, I thank you that you give us a song like Psalm 34 that we can sing each and every day. Lord, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how just strange the world is, no matter how much I don't get what's going on, I will praise you. I will seek you. And I want to know you. And each day, Father, I want to do the right thing. And I know you'll be with me. Lord, if there are those that don't know you yet as our Lord and Savior, I pray in Jesus' name that they would today just pray that prayer simply as, Lord, I want you. I want to know you. That you will come to them. You will come to them because you're a loving Father. And I ask you, Lord, to bring them into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we can help you do that. The Bible says it's as simple as calling on His name. Lord, I want you. And He'll come. If you want to know what that really means, go to the website under the connection and prayer part. Fill out that connection card and say in the box, I'd like to know what it means to have a life with Jesus. And we'll respond to you and help you know what that means. And there's no greater decision. God is good. Amen. Let's praise Him at all times this week. Seek Him like a starving person hungry for food. And ask the Father to know Him. Now let's do the right thing all week. Let's wrap up with our verse from Revelation chapter 1, shall we? Great benediction, Revelation 1, 5 to 6. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God bless your lifers. Have a week of praise all week long.